Good morning and welcome to the Mode of Vitality MV Pro Call. Today is March 3rd of 2022. And I know I say it every time I jump on the call, but I can't believe it's already March. And we are like 1 month and 5 days away from WQA conference. And I am getting so excited and nervous at the same time because I still have to print off new brochures. But anyways, I will be really excited to see everybody that will be attending. And if you haven't signed up yet, I think it would be a great idea if you could sign up and attend, because it's just an awesome experience. And we happened to, just before we started recording, you know, everybody's talking about so excited to see you and how we have so much fun at the same time as working, and we're all going for a common cause, and that is clean drinking water. Usually we will put out the question that if anybody has any questions, that they arose throughout the week, or if they have anything they want to share, they could do it at this time. This is also usually the time that I say, oh me. But we have a guest speaker today. So if anybody happens to have any questions, they can put it off until possibly next week, or just give me a call. Don't call Kelly. He's still in Hawaii. Lucky him. But give me a call, and we can talk. But so I met Ashley, and this is a little bit off of what we were originally going to talk about. I met Ashley just recently at one of the WQA conferences. She's part of the Women in the Industry Mentor-Mentee program, and she's one of those people that as soon as you meet her, you just love her. I mean, she's just, and I know Mike's on the call and he'll agree, but she's just, she's so sweet. And you can just feel her passion for anything that she speaks about. And today I happened to talk to her recently, and we got on the subject of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and kind of her passion and what she's doing there. So I'm going to introduce Ashley, and I'm going to let her talk a little bit about it. Now, I want to preface this, and I will probably say it again at some point, is that this call is not looking for donations. This call is not, you know, her reasoning behind this is she wants to advocate for clean drinking water and find a correlation to our health issues. So I'm, of course, going to let her talk a little bit more about that, but I don't want anybody to think that this call is going to be, we're just looking for donations for a nonprofit of some sort. So Ashley Womack, she is the Director of National Sales and Marketing for Aqua Ox Water Filters. It's a residential whole house filtration company. She currently serves on the WQA Communications Committee, with interest in getting involved with the WQA Government Affairs Committee, which I think is awesome, especially for what she's advocating for. But she has a Bachelor's of Science in Communications from Georgia Southern University, and she started out at Aquax answering the phones from home because she needed a work-from-home position, and then once she realized the importance of, and complexity of the water, she kind of took it a step further. And she's still with AquaX, but she is making it her business to get involved on a local level with sites on global change. She's advocating for blood cancer research and water quality for health in support of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's quest to cure blood cancer. So here's Ashley. Ashley, I'm going to let you elaborate a little bit more because it sounds so much better coming from you. So kind of tell us your journey and what your ultimate goal is.
Absolutely. So good morning, everybody, and thank you for chiming in. And Jen, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak and come on board on the call and just kind of share my message with everybody. You know, I was approached by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society on a local level a year or two ago about participating in the Man and Woman of the Year local fundraising event where they get local professionals to campaign, and the challenge is for us to raise funds. Whoever raises the most funds for, you know, leukemia and lymphoma wins the woman or the man of the year. But so it's more of a locally focused fundraising event. And then, you know, 76 cents of every dollar goes to Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. But with this particular fundraiser event, we select a local boy and girl who are currently battling a form of blood cancer, and a portion of the proceeds go to help them. But I got to thinking, I was like, when I got involved in water quality, answering phones, I was on the front line dealing with customers and their main concerns with their water. And it kind of blew my mind. You know, I was 38 at the time, and thinking the more I scratched the surface on water, I was like, wow, how have I made it this far in life without thinking about every single source that I drink water from, you know, because it's a completely different cocktail from every single source. And we know that in the water quality industry, but most people by and large, we don't think about it. We're just moving along in our daily lives, busy as ever. And we kind of turn the other cheek to water. We take it for granted. We use it in every aspect of our lives, but we just don't really stop and think about it. And it wasn't uncommon for customers to call in and say, you know, I started out looking for a water filter, and here I am. You know, I've gone down 10 rabbit holes. I just need something to you know, to help my water taste good, or maybe to take a certain contaminant out. And it's just, the more I learn, the less I know. And that's such a true statement with water. With the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, one part of their mission is to improve quality of life for all. And getting involved with the Water Quality Association has been so amazing for me. I feel like it's catapulted my networking ability and my reach to surround myself with people, peer professionals that are far smarter than I am and more experienced and accomplished. I'm loving the fact that I'm in such good company, but it helped me do that within the year that I've been involved. I bet it would have taken probably a decade to get that kind of reach. And then with the Women in Networking mentee program, I was able to align myself with people like yourself, Jen, Marianne Metzger, who is my mentor, so many other amazing women in this industry who I have been able to connect with and learn from and call on, men and women. Mike Heatwall, we met at Leadership Conference. That was probably the most valuable takeaway, was my introduction with Mike and hearing him speak on his perspective of having a voice. And guess what? You know, it's intimidating to, you know, think, okay, I kind of want to be heard here and I feel like I've got something to say, but it's just me. I'm just little old mom over here in the corner answering phones about water quality. And I mean, does it really matter? And yes, it does. And Mike was like, you should get involved and you don't have to know everything going in. We learn as we go and we support one another. And, you know, there's value in collectively coming together for a common purpose. And getting back to what I was saying about Water Quality Association and Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, both missions encompass improving quality of life for all. So it was a kind of an outside-of-the-box idea, and I was very careful at going in because I was like, gosh, you know, how do you say cancer and water in the same sentence without completely freaking everybody out? And so that's been my challenge. And I feel like the more I have these conversations with people, the more the right message is getting through. And I feel like we're on the right track. And, you know, it's a little bit about Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. The reason I feel like this aligns so much is, you know, I attended the World Water Week virtual convention last year, and the biggest concern or the biggest issue is communication. How do we communicate our message to a broader audience and penetrate outside of our immediate circle of influence? And, you know, whether you're advocating for cancer or water quality or save the manatees, it doesn't matter. You know, usually we're preaching to the choir. We're all standing around our little water cooler talking about the things that we're passionate about, but how do we get outside and break outside of that? And I feel like this Leukemia and Lymphoma Society has done an amazing job of marketing their cause, and there's so many people out there that connect with cancer. We've all been affected, if not directly, then indirectly, by somebody that's had cancer. And the same thing goes with water. Water is the common thread that connects every living thing on this planet. So it makes sense to me. You know, and as humans, we're made up of 70% water. There's got to be a connection there. And in digging a little bit further, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society is the largest nonprofit funder of blood cancer research. And blood cancers are leukemia, lymphoma, myeloma, and there's a whole list of others. But blood is easy to access for studies. And they donate hundreds of millions of dollars a year to treatment, to like precision therapy, to try to advance medicine so that we're not harming our bodies in the process of trying to heal our bodies from cancer. 80% of young children, because leukemia is the largest disease affecting children under the age of 20, and they have their whole lives ahead of them. And 80% usually go on to develop chronic conditions due to side effects from the medication and the drug treatment. So the goal is, how do we, you know, narrow that threshold, basically? How can we treat the disease, cure the illness, and let people, you know, make people whole again? Well, in their quest to cure cancer, I feel that it only makes sense to also allocate a portion of funds to preventative studies. Why not put out grants that can fund organizations that are studying water constituents, what's in our water? You know, how do we become more water wise? And, you know, there's so many ways that you could approach this that I kind of get scrambled in my thought process, so forgive me if I digress. But with the U.S. EPA, they currently regulate about 100 contaminants, and that's for municipal water supplies. This isn't even counting the people that are on private wells out there that don't even get their water tested, you know, every year as the EPA suggests. But that most of those safety standards are set based on information drawn from studies and reports and data. And a lot of that is largely compiled from animal studies. So my thought is, why not get the data and the information we need from human-based studies so that we can take it to government, we can take it to EPA, we can take it to the global community and say, hey, this is what we need, especially with emerging contaminants and the concern there, and just knowing what we know about our water quality that most everybody else doesn't know, or it's not quite dawning on their horizon yet. But we are all drinking from the same well, essentially. We're all downstream or upstream from somebody on this planet. It's all coming back around in the cycle. And what can we do to get ahead of this issue? And my goal, though, is, again, not fear-based selling. It's let's go with fact-based. Let's get down to the brass tacks. Let's work on finding solutions that treat the source versus the symptom, if that makes sense.
So, Ashley, as we are in the home, because most of the people on this call are sales professionals that go into the home, and we talk to homeowners about, you know, we want your water to be clean, we want it to be safe, but how do we tread that fine line? Because unfortunately, there are companies that will go out and they will, you know, do the Erin Abramovich thing where it's like, oh, you have chromium in your water, you have this, you know, don't let your kids drink this municipal water because it has trihalomethanes, and, you know, if they ever got cancer, then you'd feel horrible. You know, unfortunately, there's right. people that are out there doing that. How can we go in and educate gently the consumer?
Well, and I will say this about Erin Abramovich. Learning and doing my research along this journey I've been on, I didn't even really consider her at all because I didn't even know what she looked like. To me, she's Julia Roberts. She's, you know, she's the image of the movie. And, you know, up until recently, actually, it's funny because I was actually researching a quote. I had to present a quote for my campaign, and I was reading through quotes, and I found the quote that I liked. Hold on, let me see if I can pull it up here because I can never remember anything verbatim. But I read it, and I was like, that's perfect, and then saw that it was actually coined by Erin Abramovich. And so I was like, oh, that's interesting. But I was afraid that maybe bringing her name into it, because she is a household name and everybody knows her and her connection to water, that it would actually hurt versus help. And I didn't right. want to get off on the political side either, right? But as I learned more about her, she's actually a pretty awesome person. The more I learn about her, right. the more I like her. And she's got moxie and she's got that way about her, but she is for what she believes is right, and I really like that about her. She's actually coming back out of the woodwork from entering back into advocacy now, because after she had the big lawsuit, what she thought was a win back then, she went back to being a mom. She did advocacy work and stuff, but she had three kids to raise. And so she kind of took a little bit, she kind of went under the radar as far as I know, but she's kind of resurfacing again because she's got grandkids now. And, you know, here we are 30 years later and we still have the same issues. And the issue with Hinckley, California has not been resolved. In fact, it's worse. But to your point, how do we send the gentle message of just how do we become water wise? Water wise is the key word, and what's in your water? Encourage people, plant the seeds to encourage people to get the information from the right resources. And what I do, because we're a national company, we don't do the traditional go out to the house and test the water or the in-home demonstrations. What we do is I recommend guiding people to, if they're on municipal water supply, their water quality consumer confidence report, which gives them the legal standards and the most, you know, the most recent kind of broad stroke information on what's going on with their local water. And then as a nice add-on to that, I recommend people going to the environmental working group, national tap water database. And that is hugely beneficial because it's consumer focused. So the information is easier to digest if you don't really know what you're looking at. And a big take home there is you can actually click on the contaminants that are in your water and it'll tell you what they are, where they come from, and what the Environmental Working Group's healthy guideline limits are. Also, if there is a U.S. EPA legal limit or legal guideline limit, it'll also show you the difference there, which is kind of daunting when you look at the difference between the numbers on a lot of these. And then also, too, like chromium 6 isn't even regulated. It's still right. not on the U.S. EPA radar. So, and I know that the biggest argument there is, well, we don't have the resources for it. We you know, it's expensive to what's the word I'm looking for?
Research.
Enforce. thank you, enforce these regulations and stuff. But honestly, I don't believe that that, I feel like that's a little bit of a cop-out in my own opinion, in my humble opinion, because if you look at the rising cost of healthcare and the strain that it's putting on our, the entire system as a whole and on individuals, I mean, the leading cause of bankruptcy is due to medical bills. And that's mostly people that have insurance. They just can't afford the out-of-pocket expenses of the copays and the deductibles and such. So I feel like if we focus on, or we can kind of gently encourage Congress or government or, you know, the powers that be to start looking at this more closely and make it possible for us to do a little bit of a better job on the across the board. Now, granted, again, we do live in a, they do a fine job as it is, and I'm not saying that anybody's falling short. It's just, I feel like we can do better, especially with aging infrastructure and other things that are starting to kind of come to a head. We've got to start looking at this. And I don't know if I've even answered the question that you asked, but I think the important thing is pointing people to information resources that are third-party, non-biased, unbiased. And I like the fact that the EWG, you can actually click on the contaminants, the Environmental Working Group site, and scroll down to the bottom of, and it'll actually tell you the type of treatment method that's best for treating that contaminant, which also educates people that, hey, just because it's a filter and it looks like this filter and that one over there, it's not going to do the same thing. And I might not need that. I might need this, because once you, you know, it's easier for people to kind of eat the elephant one bite at a time if they can break it down and say, okay, what's in my water and what do I need to do to fix that problem? And what's important to me. And then once they have that information, I spend time with them kind of explaining, you know, what I recommend. And then I give them that information to go to market, and then they can make an educated decision for themselves. We are very low pressure. We would much rather the customer get the solution that they need long term than to sell something that doesn't fit their needs and have to, one, deal with the upset and disappointment and the repercussions of just bad business. And then it's just not good what we consider to be good business in our, you know, from our standpoint. But, and that's not to say what's good or bad, but bottom line is point people in the direction of where they can get the information to make educated decisions for themselves. And if they're on private wells, recommending full panel reports from certified third-party labs, that's hugely beneficial. What I like about that is that it gives people a baseline reading. They get a printed out report for their file, and they can then see where their water was prior to purchasing a system or whatever their treatment program ends up being, and to see if it's working long term. And then also with the way things are going, I feel like if you're going to sell a home or buy a home, it's probably going to become more of a leading question of water quality. We don't think about it now. So many people call in and they say, hey, I just had my well tested. I bought the house, I had my well tested, and everything was good. Well, what did they test for? Well, they tested for everything. No, they tested for nitrates and bacteria, which is the only two things that are required. Now, there are some places that are starting to kind of lead the charge in requiring more testing, which I know it's a lot more red tape for us to have to cut through and all, and that's never fun, but, you know, it's necessary. So that's kind of where I feel we can contribute and give back to provide the best service we can for our customer. And if we do a good job at that, they're going to, even if they don't do business with us, they're going to remember us and respect us, and they're going to tell people about us. And I will tell you this, 95 out of 100, I mean, and I'd be willing to say even more than that, end up doing business with us because of this approach. I feel like that's the, you know, unless it's just not the right fit, of course, but if it makes sense for them, they, you know, they do business with us. And a large percentage of our business is is referrals because of that very reason. So.
Right. Right. And, you know, I'm working with a sales team on Long Island this week, and that is every home that I went into, the concern was, is my water safe? I know I'm on municipal water, but is my water safe? You know, and one home we went into, they even flat out said, everybody that lived here in the past has died of cancer. And so it's, and, you know, shame on me. I can tell you, I know about the environmental water group, and shame on me because I totally forgot to even mention it. So, but yeah, sending them, I have sent people there quite often. And that is an excellent place to go because again, it's not the person trying to sell them something that is, telling them what they have in their water. And we can only go in, unless we do a full lab test, we can only go in and do the aesthetics for the most part, and, you know, the basics, because we're not a laboratory setting. Mm-hmm. So,
can I
I'm sorry?
Yeah. This is Elaine in California. Can I ask a question?
Yes, please, please. I was hoping that I was getting ready to ask everybody to ask questions.
Okay. Yes. So I am on LLS team in Fresno, both Ken and I, and we're working on a Student of the Year campaign. We have already agreed to donate an install water treatment unit as part of a live auction item, and we're curious how we might promote water safety in terms of our fundraising efforts with LLS.
My best approach with that, because I actually connected, when I kind of got this idea, I connected directly with Water Quality Association to make sure that I was not setting off any bombs. And then I also connected with LLS, and I was actually guided from both sides of the equation. Water quality for health as it relates to how do you tie it in together? Well, both, it's important. We all have water in our lives, and people are affected by cancer. But if you can connect it to health and how important water quality is to our overall well-being, especially for immunocompromised individuals and healthy individuals just the same. So that's kind of the approach I've taken, and I would be more than happy. If you follow me, I don't know if you're on social media, but I'm doing a ton of stuff on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, even started on Twitter now too. But if you reach out to me, I will share all the information that I've kind of come across and, you know, use what you like and what makes sense for you guys. And awesome that you guys are getting involved with the Student of the Year over there. That's super cool. I love hearing that.
Who did you speak to at WQA? Because Elaine and Ken are very involved with the Water Quality Association. Was there somebody in particular?
Kathleen Burbage has been my main point of contact.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect. So, does anybody else have any other questions or comments?
I do. This is Ashley's aunt, Karen. I live in a city that has about 1 million people, and the city is divided into sort of quadrants. They get their water from different sources. And about 20 years ago, the city would always send out these pamphlets at least once a year, maybe more frequently, with all the water quality stats. They would test the water and then they would report what was in it. And suddenly those reports completely vanished. Mm-hmm. And people were wondering, okay, nobody wondered. Everybody just forgot about it. But it turned out to be, people suspected it was political and economic. So green lawns are really, really big here. And all that fertilizer and all the lawn companies all those chemicals are going right into the various rivers we have here, which are water sources. And so in order to address that, you would basically have to get allies in city government.
Right.
Because behind everything that's not getting done, there is an economic reason why. There are powerful people making money off of it. So all the agriculture and, you know, fertilizer people, they don't want the water to be tested.
Right.
Well, and so, I think that's a very valid point. Go ahead, Jen. Sorry.
Oh, uh-huh. So for the Consumer Confidence Report, they by law they are still they have to report that. It is now online, and you'll see on your water bill, say, look at your Consumer Confidence Report, or your CCR is available online, and they'll give the email address. But you know, they. So that's where you go for the CCRs. They no longer print them for, you know, saving the trees and everything else and saving on mailings. But as far as the fertilizers and things like that, that is the nitrates is something that there are a lot of, when you get into agriculture, there are a lot of areas that they actually have to put in certain grades. And, you know, I'm not into agriculture at all, so I know I'm not using the right terminology, but, you know, they have to make sure that their nitrates, their fertilizers that they use on their crops are not going into certain areas, you know, into other people's wells. But, so they work on that in the agriculture area, not as much when you're talking about, you know, the green lawns and the, we always, when we're near a golf course, we have these multi-million-dollar homes on golf courses, and that's where nitrates are really high. And so that's where, and this is probably for a whole other call, is where final barrier comes in, where we want to, the water's bad, and the municipalities, they do the best job they can getting you clean water and safe water for the most part. But it's up to the homeowner at the point that it enters their home that we can put equipment there. We can put it at the sink for where you're ingesting the water that goes on you, water that goes in you. So that's even more to where we are advocating for clean water.
Absolutely. And, you know, really to that point, only 1% of the water that is treated on the municipal level is actually consumed. So again, going back to that financial piece of it doesn't make financial sense to, and it's not even feasible for them to treat, they can make it safe, but do they make it drinking water level safe? And that's just with 1% of it only being consumed, it's impossible really to do that. So again, that final barrier protection is key. And I think that's another message that educating people on thinking about this and what they can do to take control of their situation, whether it be a water pitcher filter or, you know, installing a, you know, under sink filter or whole house filter. You know, there's got to be other solutions too to bottled water as well, and more cost-effective solutions at that. So
right.
I agree.
Does anybody have any other questions? I think we'll wrap this up here in just a minute or two.
Yeah, this is Mike. I'll just make a comment. I'm actually speaking about water treatment in agriculture at WQA for one of the classes. But an interesting side note, being an old farm boy myself, farmers get a lot of bad rap with pesticides and insecticides and fertilizers. But farmers today are very careful, I believe, for the most part, of their application of fertilizers. Something that most people don't realize is if you take all the grass and the lawns in this country and you put them together, it equals almost the same amount of land that we use in production agriculture. And, you know, a farmer is very careful about what they put on the land. A homeowner, you know what, you buy a quart of Roundup to use around the house, and it says to put an ounce or 10 gallons of water, and you go, the bottle was $7, so I'll use half of it. A little bit more is better, right? So that's where we see a lot of the problems coming in today. So, you know, I just had to throw that out there. So.
I love that, Mike. I do.
We have you know, great guidelines for the farmers. However, we don't have guidelines for those who just want their their weeds to be gone and their lawns to look good. So,
yep.
And sadly enough, I'm probably one of those people too. I could see myself rationalizing that way, like, let's just get this done. And not thinking about, wait a minute, what is the ripple effect of this? But yeah,
exactly.
And again, educating people to start thinking and stopping just for a brief moment of pause and saying, wait a minute, where is this going is crucial. And I think that's where just having these little conversations, one person at a time, it's going to make a huge difference.
Right. Well, Ashley, I want to thank you so much for coming on. I know you had mentioned we will put a link up on our Facebook page to Ashley's cause. And, you know, if you're able to make a donation, she said even a dollar does let her realize that she is getting the word out. But I think you are definitely between, everybody there are so many dings coming on this call. And, you said that people have reached out to you that weren't able to make the call because they saw your social media. And that just warms my heart to know that people are getting very involved. So thank you so much. Next week, I am hoping to have somebody on, another guest speaker, 2 weeks in a row, that will be talking about tankless water heaters and how water quality works with the tankless water heaters. I happened to just stumble across this gentleman, and I'm really excited to talk with him and hopefully have him on the call next week. So with that being said, thank you, everybody. And if we don't talk to you before, then we will talk to you next Thursday.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, Jen. And if anybody needs my info to reach out, I'm fully available.
Oh, yes. We will have Ashley's information on the website also.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys. Hope
Take
everybody
care.
Has a look. Okay.
Thank
bye-bye.
You, Ashley.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.